In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Surprise! The church year is over. Now, for the past few years, we've always observed our usual tradition of the last three Sundays of the church year, so you had some time to think about it. Well, this year, I broke our usual pattern, and we just jumped to the last Sunday when we got there. In a way, I suppose it fits better, but I don't think we'll do it next year. But it kind of fits because the point of Jesus' parable today, the bottom line summary of all of Jesus' teaching on the end of the world, the end times, is this. Watch. Because you know neither the day nor the hour when it will come. If Christianity is for this life only, then we are most to be pitied. If your faith is only focused on your neighbor, or worse, on yourself, then you are probably very put off by the subject of the judgment of God at the last day. Judgment Day spells doom for the so-called social gospel, which is this idea that the church and Jesus are primarily agents of positive change in this world. Social change. Societal change. This kind of religion says that Jesus came to end poverty, to liberate the marginalized, and generally to make life much better for everyone. And that's what we Christians are supposed to do too. Well, what do you do when Judgment Day spells an end to this life and to this world, even if we are busy trying to make it better all the time? Judgment Day says that heaven is not attainable here on earth. Jesus says, "Behold, I am making all things new." But in the same way, Judgment Day also spells doom for anyone who is spiritually devoted to him or herself. Our personal successes will mean nothing on the last day. Wealth, status, happiness, family and friends, house and home, they're going to burn up with this world. And Judgment Day is called by that name because God's judgment is kind of a main feature of the end of the world. And that's the question. What will anyone have to show for themselves then? How will you answer God when you are asked? Boy, now this has to be close to the list, the top of the list of bad topics for church. Judgment. Judgment Day. You know, if there's one kind of preaching that gets joked about, it's fire and brimstone sermons. And you know what? It's generally true that you should be very skeptical of churches and preachers who spend most of their time in the book of Revelation talking about the Judgment Day and signs about the end of the world. Definitely steer clear of any groups with the name Adventist in their name. And yet here in today's gospel from Matthew, we have Jesus' own word. He says, watch. He doesn't say that we are free to put Judgment Day out of our minds. Just the opposite. We are to watch for his coming and for the end of the world. Now, there are some highfalutin theologian types who've even said that the church lost the expectation that she once had for the coming of Jesus at the end of the world. They say that Jesus came and he preached the kingdom of heaven. St. Paul just gave us the church.
That's what they say.
Well, our epistle kind of shows them how wrong they are there. Shows them that Paul was definitely expecting the return of Christ just as imminently as Jesus had preached it. And in fact, at least in today's text, using the very same words that he does. But it is worth asking whether you and I have stopped waiting, watching. Whether or not we have twisted God and his word into a form that suits us better. A form that is focused on this world, mostly, or only. Whether our main goals as Christian people and as Christians in general together, our political goals, or emotional, or social, or financial. Or whether we have, in the course of nearly a 2,000-year wait now, and with the help of our time's skepticism and technology, have we simply come to the conclusion that the Lord isn't really going to return at all? Do we believe that it's more likely that the world's going to end through nuclear war or globalization than through angels, trumpets, and God's Son returning on the clouds? Repent. Your oil is running low, dear saints. These thoughts and others like them which have passed your mind, these are the foolishness that leads virgins to come and to bring lamps, but no fuel for them. All show, but no wisdom, no substance, no endurance, no faith, and therefore a hope that sputters and flickers and blows out just when hope is needed most. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Right? I have a feeling that St. Paul was writing with his tongue in his cheek and with a smirk on his face, just as this has to be preached to us now. Because while people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, like labor pains coming upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Are we fully aware of this? Now, it says people are going to be crying about peace and security, and then suddenly calamity is going to strike. That doesn't mean that we should take comfort that the end is far off right now, because our world isn't calm. No one's predicting peace and security. Everybody's freaking out. But this means that the last day is going to catch unprepared, totally off guard. It's going to be like, if you want another analogy, when the news predicts 80% chance of victory for one person, when the guy who has no chance calmly and easily goes on to win. And what's the most tragic part about that situation? I think it is that those who've put their foot in their mouth haven't learned anything. They're jabbering all the more now. Consider the Lord's other parable that usually we would have heard on the Sunday before this one. The one about the sheep and the goats, separated for judgment. And the Lord addresses them, and the goats begin to protest, complain to Jesus against him, that they never saw the Lord hungry, imprisoned, and all those things. Even when they are shut out of heaven and humiliated, they still have learned no humility. The resentment and the anger of those goats burns hotter, if it's possible, even than the hellfire itself. Well, if you can grasp everything that's going on in those situations, then you know what this biblical expression, like a thief in the night, is getting at. It is like virgins who burned all night for a bridegroom who looked like he would never come, and then he does. At the one moment that half of them are out refilling their lamps. Now that's the sermon that Jesus gives about the end times. And it isn't really fire and brimstone. It's calm, it's sober, it's pointed. And I think it stings all the deeper for it. There can be no words more tragic and painful than when Jesus Christ says to anyone, "I don't know you." This ironic and almost funny story is unsettling and terrifying and horrifying. That's because it's not about somebody else. It's about us. It's a warning. Not everyone who calls, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom. Not everyone who was once baptized will be saved. Not everyone who at some time believed remains faithful to the end. Some are going to be shut out into the darkness. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. No, sometimes I feel like I am. I look at my watching and my waiting, and not only have I fallen asleep on the job, but I've rarely had the Lord's holy oil as my priority, whether that oil is faith or hearing and learning God's word, or prayer and the Holy Spirit, or good works for the sake of my neighbor, any of these things. I know my sin. God surely must know it all the more. And indeed he does. And even so, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Judgment Day can't be ignored. It is an essential reality of the world that we live in and of our Christian faith. But it is not more important than the cross of Jesus Christ. In fact, the cross of Jesus Christ is for Judgment Day. That is its purpose. That is why he did it. The Lord's will was to put his Son under the wrath of judgment in order that this final Judgment Day that we are watching for would be taken care of. That this verdict might be spoken on you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You, dear saints, are children of the light and of the day. The Apostle Paul says so. On your own, on our own, we are all 10 virgins in this parable. We are suspect. You have fallen asleep on the job, it is true. Your watching has been weak. And yet, here you are, hearing the call again. The bridegroom is at hand. You are looking not to your lamps or to yourselves, but you are looking much less to the cellars in the back alleys. You are looking to Christ, looking to his feast. And he, thank God, is both the author and the perfecter of faith, of your faith. Will this God have mercy even on you? Even on me? Will he let us in, this ragtag bunch, sitting on his doorstep without much to show, except that we hope in him? Yes. In fact, it is only those who throw themselves on his undeserved mercy who are brought in. Hear the warning, saints. Repent of your wimpy watching. And trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Because if you are of the light, as his word and as the promise of holy baptism have said of you, then you are not waiting for some unknown judgment day. You are waiting as wise virgins for the bridegroom. You are waiting for the advent of the Savior, your Savior, who forgives sins, who gives oil to the needy, who wakes the sleeping, and who raises even the dead. Live here and now in the meantime as people of the day and of the light. But live watching for the Lord's coming, eager most of all for this bridegroom's return. Because you are not to be pitied in the world, left to be caught off guard or surprised or devastated like all of those who have misplaced hopes. You hope in Jesus. That means you are those who obtain mercy. You are destined not for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. The end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.